This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, April 1st, 2021. Maundy Thursday, by Father Jason McCrimmon.
Dear Lord, keep the doors of my lips, and I sin against thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
2,000 years ago, the greatest gift ever presented to man was given. Yet despite its importance, its uniqueness, the gravity of the gift at the time could not be grasped. Those who were witnesses could not have fathomed that in just a few short hours, the God-man Jesus Christ, whom everyone wanted to be king, would be betrayed and murdered upon the cross. Yet the gift of his own body and blood, to which we shall partake in a short while, became the unique identifier for all the people of God. It became the signal to the world that we are united as his bride, united with him and through him. Shortly after that gift, we know of his betrayal. We recall in our minds the name of his betrayer, how he walked from the room into the outer darkness, determined to hand him over to the authorities. And he did it for nothing more than 30 coins. Before that happened, though, our Lord Jesus Christ undertook an act that to many at the time would have seemed beneath him. It was an act that only the lowliest of servants would perform, or would even be asked to perform. He rose from his chair that evening, he removed his outer clothing, and he knelt before those who called him teacher and Lord, and then he washed their feet. Now we have all caught a whiff of smelly feet before, and if I'm not, I'm sure that all of you have smelled a stinky shoe. In my house, I have a policy. The first sign of a smelly shoe regulates it to the garage, where it will be used to mow the lawn. But I wonder if we grasped the level of grime that was on those feet that day. From a society that wears sandals along dusty roads and walks everywhere they go, can you visualize the dirt between their toes, the mud on their heel, the smell of the caked-on sweat, and maybe even the possible animal dung? I doubt it, but there could be no doubt that it was there that evening, and none of us would have volunteered for that job. Yet the King of Heaven and Earth did that evening. This act was so out of the norm for a man of importance, much less a king. It was just something that was not done. It may explain some of the motivation behind the betrayer who desired the Messiah to ride in Jerusalem on a battle horse and not on the foal of an ass. St. Peter expresses this to him as well. He says, "No, Lord, I will not allow this." And it is probably the same way we would have reacted if we sat around that table, not recognizing the charity and the humility that was being displayed, but instead trying to project upon Jesus Christ an image that we had made in our mind. It didn't matter all the times that he had said before, the first would be last. It was forgotten that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that is why Christ knelt that day, to demonstrate firsthand everything that he had taught them. Jesus gives them the Eucharist, his very body and blood. Then he says to them, "All who desire to share in this one bread and this one cup must live the way I am showing you." That if a disciple desires to be part of this new covenant, he must grasp and live this new way of thinking. One that says you must be willing to kneel and to wash the foot of another. With this demonstration, there also came a word of warning, though. A warning that says, "Those who do not do these things will have no part in me." Stating emphatically that if you do not live like Jesus Christ, you can never enjoy the gifts that he provides. And it got me thinking. It made me reflect on the past year, where just a year ago, you all had this gift taken away. It was a terrible time that I'm sure all of you pray never returns. During that deprivation of the very life of the church, I witnessed a slew of reactions from the people of God. Some were very angry. Some were saddened. Some even pointed their fingers at others as the reason for their pain. But one reaction which I rarely heard was the admittance that maybe we deserved it, that maybe we had earned this famine. Now, we all know interiorly that the world is very far from God, that the sin of this world is very great. Sexual sin, unchecked greed, violence, violations of gender roles in reality, the callous murder of children, a flagrant disregard of the sovereign laws and authority of God. Throughout history, if people had behaved this way with a sovereign in such blatant disregard for his rules, it would have certainly meant death. How much more egregious when that king is the King of Kings? But the sad part of that truth is that this behavior is not limited to the world. Instead, it is likewise manifested within his people. Disregard of the Eucharist, flagrant sin, unspeakable evil against children, ignorance of his law, and a host of other acts coming from those who proclaim to be his wife. It is possible that we suffered this because we failed in our own calling, our calling to live like him. That reaction we see from St. Peter that day is not unlike the reaction that I saw the last year, the one that says, "It will never happen, Lord. You will not wash me. I am one of yours. I am fine the way I am." And then we insist that we should not be denied him. But in that insistence, we forget that the leaven has worked its way through the entire loaf. Instead of praying like Daniel, "Woe is me, and we have sinned," we don't view the sin as ours. So we never mimic him in kneeling and acting like a servant. Was the last year a terrible thing to endure? Was it terrible that the people of God were kept from our Lord? There is no debate about that. But I would contend that it would be equally as terrible if after mercy is shown, if after the Eucharist has been restored, if after we are gathering on Maundy Thursday once again, which we could not do last year, we forget the lesson that he has taught us all, that unless we are like him, we can have no part in him. See, it is impossible to have the joy of Easter unless you first have the washing that precedes it. That unless we come to him and we recognize our very own sin and our part in this, our part in contributing to the leaven of the loaf, this will continue. And it will leave that room similar in ways to which the betrayer did that night, going into the outer darkness, unchanged and on a path headed for destruction. That is why they call this day Maundy Thursday, implying a command to his people, meaning non-negotiable, not if you feel like it, not when you are comfortable. It is a command for every day of your life. Otherwise, you set yourself up as your own authority, and you make yourself an authority unto your own, wanting to rule instead of serve, and that can only lead to anarchy, set apart from God and living in chaos and disorder. Christ that day did not give up his authority when he knelt before them. He did not say, "I choose no longer to rule." He was just as much their God as he is ours. But in that authority, he demonstrated for all of us and his subjects the expected standard of living, a way that is demonstrated in humility, which is recognition of our own sin, repentance, kneeling before the King, and serving as he demonstrated for all of us. And he calls us to do the same thing and to live that same way, giving up of ourselves so we could teach others in this world what it means to follow the Lord to Calvary. We have all been given an instruction over the last year. We have all sat in class and listened to what was going to be taught, not only in our gospel reading today, but in the course of the events over the last year. Hopefully the people of God have heard that message. Hopefully they are ready to say like Peter, "Wash me, all of me, wretched man that I am." For we do not deserve the mercy that has been shown to us. We do not deserve to have a part in him. But thanks be to God and his mercy, he is aware of that. and he offers us all the joy of the resurrection to make us clean. One only need to likewise follow his example that evening and learn to serve. Remember, brethren, oftentimes the very people of God will say, "He feels so very far away from me." Brothers and sisters, he has never changed. He has never moved. But instead, it is normally all of us that have packed up and left. Embrace the living God. Be made clean by his washing. And look with joy towards our Easter resurrection, knowing one day he will make all things new.